With your help, we can continue to fight for freedom. This is not possible without your generosity. Join our quest for the truth and our freedom and donate today. Simply go to tntradio.live. Welcome to Lynn's Warriors, ground zero in the war to protect our children. And now, Lynn Shaw on today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Let's do this. Welcome. This is Warrior Saturday, September 23rd, 2023, on today's News Talk 24/7 Global TNT Radio. And I am Lynn Shaw, the Warrior. And today, you are all my Warriors for the next hour and beyond. Community creates change. Thank you for joining us. Let's settle in, listen up, get ready to take your weekly Warrior notes. You know the drill. We have so much to cover every single week. I'm coming to you live from New York City, so let's rock and roll. I want to remind everybody, TNT Radio is the place to be. 24-hour news talk. You really have no excuse. It is all truth here, no propaganda. And don't worry, did you miss any of the past episodes? Just hit the episodes tab, click, and you are there. You will have a wealth. You will stay up 24 hours straight, 7 days a week to listen to all of the great hosts on TNT Radio. You know, we cover the headlines here on Lynn's Warriors regarding child safety, exploitation, trafficking that most media will not cover at all, or at least they will not give you the true facts, what I like to call the nuts and bolts of trafficking. We are based on facts and truth. And what you just need to always remember in this overwhelming environment is that there is a war on for our children, not only here in the United States where I am, but all around the globe. So what do we want to do? We want to take notice and take action. And a little bit of a warning that today's program may be disturbing because it's all true. So buckle up, because our big reminder that September is National Suicide Prevention Month. And I gave a workshop yesterday, a Warriors workshop, to healthcare providers here in New York City, 47 of them. You think they would know a little bit about human trafficking, sexual exploitation, the landscape, again, healthcare providers. And shockingly, and this is not judging them, it's not their fault because they're not being given the information. Again, I say healthcare. People in the healthcare field, they did not know. They were shocked. They were shocked at what I was sharing with them. So we have to at all times work on getting the truth out there, the facts, and then what are we going to do about it? Because suicide is a very serious public health issue in the United States and escalating among our young. And that is the most shocking fact. When I'm presented with stories of five-year-olds killing themselves and I ask, how are they doing this? Where are they learning this? I don't know. But today we're in for a real treat. Warrior, we are going to have Lionel from Lionel Media join us, legal and media analyst. LionelMedia.com is the website. You can follow him. And I urge all of you, it's a real treat on Twitter, at Lionel Media, to bring his legal hat today and to break down. I have questions for him, and we want to dive into this suicide. Can big tech be held responsible? Where there are plenty of videos where children are given the steps how to do certain things. Can any of these platforms be legally held responsible? What about society? What about bullying if somebody's urging someone to kill themselves? So with that, let's wait for the expert. Lionel, welcome to Lynn's Warriors.
Thank you. So good to be here.
Now, I want to issue again that today's program may be disturbing because it's all true.
Good.
And our goal is never to disturb. Our goal is never to disturb people. But with this subject, Lionel, I think we do need to disturb people and shake them and wake them up in the United States because they absolutely are not aware of things. For instance, July of 2022, a three-digit code 988 was launched across the United States. Suicide Prevention Lifeline. The old phone number, which nobody could remember, had many different digits with it. They, just like we have 911, they launched 988. Yet, I talk about it all the time. Even the healthcare workers I was doing the workshop with yesterday, some of them were unaware that there is actually now a 988. So in saying this to you, it's an ugly subject. It's a dark subject. Let's start with suicide. We know it's an escalating crisis in the United States. Let's open it up. You have background in working in this realm, in the courts, and also on the Prevention Lifeline. So share with us, please.
Well, first of all, and this is not directed at you, but I'm so sick and tired of people saying, oh, I hope we don't trigger anything. Oh, I'm about to say something that Yet nobody talks about poor kids who were subjected to cross-dressing, drag shows and horrible things. Nobody ever says to ask parents, by the way, do you mind if we subvert your child's life and contaminate it? Nobody ever asks about that. Nobody ever asked me whether I mind, whether I got to hear the latest blather from Joe Biden. So yes, this is shocking because it's true. And I think a parent would much rather hear this now than to walk into the room and find their kid dead. You know that in 2021, just look at these stats, 48,000 people committed suicide, one every 11 minutes. Also, about 12 million people seriously thought about it, 3.5 million made a plan for it, and 1.7 million attempted suicide. And it's getting younger and younger and younger. And the first question we have to ask is, how does a kid know how to commit suicide? 5 years old? Now, you ask a very good question. Can a person be held responsible if you had, let's say there's a book, a TV series, and in that, whether it was the intention or not, the main character swallows a bunch of pills or asphyxiates or does something, and somebody makes a suggestion that this is an actual instructional, that's what this is. This isn't really anything about this isn't about, prevention. If you watch this, you're instructing them. First of all, the slippery slope, I don't even know where to go. My first inclination as a civil libertarian is, no, nobody should be held responsible. That line is getting more and more thinned out. I don't know. Historically, the courts have been very funny about this. In 1971, there was a book called The Anarchist Cookbook, which was put out, which told people basically how to make bombs, how to kill people, how to make different devices. There was the Paladin Press. I was a big fan of this. The Get Even series, George Hayduke, told people how to make a silencer. I mean, it was using army manuals. I've been through this. I mean, it's instructional. These are instructions. This wasn't a story about the protagonist who happens to use a silencer. No, they did it. And the Supreme Court was very clear, and they said, no, this is not. Somebody cannot be held liable for this. So, and I intuitively understand this. But let me ask you something. Do you know when the best way to increase the number of kids committing suicide? Report it. When a lot of kids didn't know about people cutting themselves, self-abuse, self-harm, until people talked about it.
Well, let me just interrupt for a minute. No, but let me interrupt for a second. So, but how do we, let me interject here. Like with this, I always call it quote unquote social media, because I think it's anti-social media for the most part. Yep. But this is what, with children spending 7 to 11 hours a day with varying studies we have, they're seeing everything's being thrown at them. So yes, that can be said about anything. You report on something and it increases, but please get into, what are we going to do about this? And why are the children falling so victim to all of this and willing to actually kill themselves?
Well, the first thing is we'll talk about this notion of liability. And I just think that in terms of a criminal liability or civil liability, can TikTok, look, I'm sorry. I understand it's tough for parents, but you've got to make a decision. Either you're going to keep these devices away from your parent or your children or not. You're going to have to keep drugs away from your children or not. You're going to have to do this. And you can't say, well, this is far too difficult for me to do this. This is far too difficult. All the kids are, involved. It doesn't work like that. It doesn't work like that. So anyway, so the bottom line is this, what happens about kids? What do you do? First of all, this is my favorite notion is suicide against the law? Yes, it's against the law. And what does that mean? How do you punish somebody who tried to commit suicide or commit suicide? But it is against the law. In many jurisdictions, almost across the board, with different names, there is the involuntary commitment statute. Years ago, when I was a prosecutor, we called it the Baker Act. And if a law enforcement family member, friend has reason to believe, just to believe that you a person is a threat, quote, a threat to themselves or others, they can be taken into custody and immediate and held within 24 hours and then perhaps extended to 72 hours for involuntary commitment and placement to make sure they don't hurt themselves. Now, what happens is, thankfully, most of the time, people do not commit suicide. Thankfully, call it a cry for help. But the courts intervene. And if you want to destroy something, have the courts intervene. So then the person, by the way, aside from this, then has the stigma, is in the system. And if there is a child today, that's a different story. Now, CPS, state social workers might say, why is this child wanting to do this? Now, in the old days, believe it or not, it was over scrutiny. In the old days, CPS, Child Protective Services, would say, maybe there's something incestuous. Maybe there's a sexual component to this. Maybe that's the call for help. Today, it's the opposite. I don't think they care one way or the other. But what do the courts do? Mandatorily observe them? Take them away? Do you think these court counseling and various services are able to handle this? And how, I mean, yeah. The notion of suicide? And why is the level, let's go to another question. You know this, we've seen this. How many people do you know not only have anxiety, but wear it as a badge of honor, who love to have their, I'm sorry, this is my opinion, with their service animal and their anxiety CBD and their gummies and they're just, I'm anxious. I don't know what to do. I can't handle this. And it's played out systematically and systemically in their own media. It's almost like a rite of passage. Of course, the idea of being tough. Please interrupt.
Again, I am interrupting. I have to say something that I've been thinking a lot about going back a couple of decades where pediatricians would start prescribing medications for children. And for instance, if somebody was a little rambunctious, they would say, I've got something for that. You need a little help? You got your hands full, Mom? I can give your child a little prescription. And being a parent, firsthand, I can say that so many children over the past, I can only speak from experience, I'm going to say 3 decades now, because that's what I know about, are on these medications. Or the children have told us so-and-so is on these medications. So therein lies another problem of children on these drugs, whether it's the ADD, ADHD, I'm not sure what they call it these days, all different types of drugs. Now, how do you think that, I mean, please continue with your thought, but how does that fit into all of this? Because I'm blaming that for a lot of what we're seeing now as these children have grown up to become adults and they can't live without their prescriptions. They can't sleep without their prescriptions. What are your thoughts on how that plays in to all of
this? Let's go back a little bit more. When I was in college, interestingly enough, I was a psych major, psychology major, and I volunteered in a suicide and crisis center. And at the time, there was a when you brought people into crisis center. By the way, suicide was not really the main one. People sometimes just had psychological breakdowns or what have you. And people in the business had these little forms, like, what do you call this? Somebody comes in, and that sometimes you would have people do the processing, and somebody would come in and they would exhibit, you know, manic behavior or mania, hearing voices, you go, oh, schizophrenic. And they would have a list of just some names, depression, suicidal, schizophrenic, ambulatory, whatever, maybe one page just for purposes of naming this. Emergency rooms are easier, broken arm, bleeding, whatever. Psychological, different. And sometimes they're not necessarily suicide. So this list was kind of copied and used by a lot of these services. Later on, that list was maybe one page. That became the DSM, the Diagnostic Statistical Manual. I think it's DSM-5. I don't know how many pages, 1,300, who knows? And they kept coming up with more and more and more names for everything. My favorite is oppositional defiant disorder. Oppositional defiant disorder. Symptoms. Listen to this. This is from the Mayo Clinic. Often and easily loses temper, is frequently touchy and easily annoyed by others, is often angry and resentful, often argues with adults, actively defies and refuses to follow adults' requests. Okay, it's also called being a brat, being a kid,
a teenager.
This is now a diagnostic, a psychiatric diagnosis. Now, with that comes billing. And as in the case with nutrition, there's never been any doctor who's ever has a prescription pad for kale. A doctor does not have a prescription
pad. Now, Lionel,
pad.
I want you to hold this. We want to talk about get into this nutrition. It's very important, but we need to take a station headline, and then we'll get back into the nutrition. This is today's news talk, TNT Radio.
TNT Radio's Ross Cameron.
So after the first dam failed, you then saw the release of 1.5 million cubic meters of water rushing towards the city of Derma. And so we're now attempting to count the dead, and it's very difficult to know, but it's clear that at least 20,000 people have perished. Their bodies continue to wash up on the shores. I saw one bloke interviewed who had lost 11 members of his family in one night, including his 8-month-old son, wife, and children. As Australia tears itself apart over whether or not to create a 122nd Aboriginal bureaucracy in Canberra, some countries have real problems.
Ross Cameron on TNT Radio. A better business tip from TNT Radio. News Talk Radio listeners are some of the most active and involved listeners of any format. TNT Radio listeners rely on TNT Radio often as their primary source of information. They trust TNT Radio and are highly engaged with the content. If you'd like more information about advertising on TNT Radio, simply fill out your details on our contact page and we'll be in touch. To find out more, go to tntradio.live. This is Lynn's Warriors with Lynn Shaw on today's News Talk, TNT Radio.
We're talking with legal and media analyst Lionel. LionelMedia.com is the website. You can also listen to him daily, 7 days a week. I don't know how the man does it. 8 a.m. Eastern and also 7 p.m. Eastern, Lionel Nation on YouTube. Now, Lionel, September is National Suicide Prevention Month in the United States. So a warning. Buckle up, everyone. We are talking about facts and truth right here on Lynn's Warriors. And this is information you need to know and most likely are not hearing anywhere else. Now, Lionel, please continue. We're talking about the role of nutrition and doctors in all of this.
Right. But I was talking about the DSM-5. I just did a DSM. The original DSM Diagnostic Statistical Manual was 144 pages, 1952, by the way. Now it's about 1,100 pages. And there are 300 disorders for just various forms of intoxication. Now, with that comes, this is basically an insurance recipe list. If you want to be reimbursed, give one of those just
300.
Yeah. And opposition.
I think we all suffer from one of them, right? We probably all could suffer from one of them that a doctor can write a prescription or make the money.
Yeah, but that's just intoxication. Now, what's also important too is I've often said this, and I go nowhere with this. Nobody wants to hear me, but I'm going to say it because you have the show. I don't think kids know anything about death. I don't think they know what it is. They've never been to funerals. They have no earthly idea of what death is. They have no idea. They have this idea.
Well, what ages are you talking about though? Because teens are certainly aware of death.
Let me fill you in. Yes, the concept they're aware of, but unless you've been to a morgue or a medical examiner's office and you see somebody who's 16 years old, and people are found sometimes not right away. I wish I could show people kind of like scared straight. This is what you're talking about, because what they think about death is they think of it as the cessation of this feeling. the end of it. It's almost romantic. You know, this end of I'm going to kill myself, Romeo and Juliet, whatever. If people knew what it was like and saw the trauma and saw it, I don't know if they would care for this. Remember when we were young, I don't know about you, but when I got my driver's license, we saw pictures of accidents. They used to have a car sometimes in they would bring to a high school of an actual car in a DWI crash. People need to see it. I don't think people understand what this thing is. When you talk about death, and also kids have to understand something. I don't know if they think about overdosing, but what people don't understand is not everybody who attempts it makes it, meaning sometimes they're botched and sometimes you end up worse. And this is one of the things which I wish we would do. We pride ourselves in this world of being so upfront about genders. Let's talk about death. Let's talk about what happens. Look what the family does. Reputation. Even after your death, do people think about this? Do they have any idea? Sometimes kids are in this tunnel vision. And what they also have is, and I'm going to tell you as a layperson, when you have played with psychopharmacology, neurotransmitters for long periods of time, that little dopamine serotonin balance is different. And you are never the same. I don't care what anybody says, especially keep in mind that the human brain stops developing at the age of 25. Now, there are also problems. And this is another thing, too. We grovel in the permutations and the colors of mental illness. And while I believe very seriously in it, just like there are people who you've seen them on TikTok, the people who love to describe their genders. I'm a bifusal, a binary canary. I'm a dysmorphic, right. Tasmanian, by, you know, I don't even know what you're talking about. Well, there are other people who say, I have transitory anxiety disorder. My favorite is borderline. I have antisocial border. I'm bipolar. They wear this almost like, not always, but they miss the point. There is a certain cachet among some people in this notion of emotional fragility. I'm sorry, but it's true.
But let me jump in and say, let me say something, Lionel, that in some cases, I really think the medical community, as you pointed out, insurance, the 300 disorders, is responsible for labeling. I'm going to stick with children for now and, teens, labeling them that way and empowering them. I mean, I've heard kids over the years, it's time for my medication. I need my medication. And they feel emboldened then. I'll go on TikTok. Everybody gives away their privacy. I'll get clicks and likes. People will, give me this attention. I'm digging in now a little bit to the medical community being held somewhat responsible for this and encouraging this kind of behavior.
Look what the medical community did during COVID. By the way, a little backup. I remember reading a story about in World War II in London, when the Londoners were being basically bombed by Germans, and they would have to rush into the tube and the underground, and kids would be inside subway. Do you know what the funk and the smell of sweat and fear and gasoline and bombs, and those kids did swimmingly. Oh, sure, they were traumatized many times. But the idea of a kid saying, I mean, look, if you think getting a bad grade is something, imagine that. Do you remember a while back, we happened to see at the UN, it was a documentary on kids who were once, I think it was in the Congo in Africa, but who were once assassins.
Child soldiers.
I mean, assassins.
Form of human trafficking. Lionel, form of human trafficking. Child soldiers.
Yes. Kids pulled from their villages, given AK-47s, and they killed 19, 20 people. And they thought, now we're going to adopt them. And they said, wait a minute, you're going to put an assassin into some family? Do you know that when those kids were shown love, they immediately reverted to being a kid? So what is being lost is the resiliency. the protean ability for kids necessarily to fight back. But if you live in a society, and let me tell you something, because I'm being a lawyer, people always rag on lawyers. I am disgusted by the medical profession. We live in this fantasy that we have the best medical system in the world. No, we don't. We've had people, there were people during, you know it and I know it, that during COVID, there were doctors when the QT would say, listen, I'm going to treat you. You don't need this. Try this. Try the ivermectin. But they wouldn't make any money and they were afraid. And I understand this to an extent of losing their license. They go for that medical pad so fast. Anything in the world, name it from bedwetting to whatever, to kids acting like jerks. Now, nutrition, forget it. Let me just say something right now. We live in a world with a bunch of nutritional thugs, morons who have no idea how to eat or into this, especially my favorite now is the new hyper male. They think that, oh, the world, the T levels are down and there's no testosterone. And they walk around with these Fred Ziffel beards and they think they're somehow masculine because of their T. I got news for you. Some of the biggest, most flamboyant drag queen performers have T's off the scale, testosterone. So don't give me this business. But these are people who say things like, I don't want to hear anything about nutrition unless it's about meat and raw offal and that sort of thing. Do you know that in recent years, I was reading a study that kids today, the obesity rates are off the chart, that they're finding fatty streaks, which are precursors to atherosclerosis in children. And that not only are weight and nutrition's off, but endocrine scales, they're kids with, forget low T, pituitary disorder, thyroid disorders. And if you want to see something that will really mimic sometimes mental illness, look at thyroid imbalances, pituitary, whatever it is. There are so many things in addition to, not to mention, being a kid today, social media make you crazy.
I want to talk about that.
They make you introspective. They make
on purpose. It's done, Lionel. On purpose. Big tech platforms. Yes, we have the we have a lot of varying studies with all of the big tech platforms. The dangerous algorithms, how they are directed towards children, their eyeballs. When I say there was a war on for children.
No.
Okay, but I want you to understand. Yes.
No, I know that now, but when they started, for example, in the old days when we were kids, there were cartoons in Saturday morning, things that were patterned towards kids because they realized that's where the money is. And what they're doing right now, yes, there's all kinds of experimental. So put this into effect. There are so many things right now affecting kids. And most people, we have a friend of ours, sort of. When you did a radio show after going through extensive discussions as to the perils and the travails and the dangers of TikTok, this moron and his wife said, well, we have our kid is TikTok. And they basically said, don't make me feel guilty because I don't know anything about it. They just dismissed what you're saying. You see, let me explain something. The reason why you say the following may be difficult to hear. You know why people don't want to hear it? It's parents, because they don't want to be reminded that there's another thing they don't know and they don't care about. Parents don't want to be bothered, especially when parents today are too busy on their own phones neglecting their own kids. And I'm saying this for the first time in my life. Most people shouldn't have kids. And I'll go one step further. Most people shouldn't be married, drive, or play with sharp
objects. That's another program.
People today are stupid. People are demented. People are messed up. Listen to any news program, not TNT, mind you, but any other, and listen to what people do. They go out, and let me just say, they'll fashion a show or a website in order to get clicks. Now, how do you get clicks? You get clicks by speaking the truth and saying, you know, things are, we've been through this before. No, it's always the sky is falling. You've got to be a Cassandra. This is the end. Wake up. Find the truth. Great. This is where parents live in. Paranoia, always talking about things, the latest thing to be worried about. Okay, that's the parent. Now we whittle it on down to children. They've got parents they're not talking to. They've been out of school. They don't conviviate. They don't play. They become introspective. Throw in some medication, dampen that down. I don't know about you, but I don't know if it was 10 years ago, but I defy you to go anywhere and find a kid or somebody in their 20s who has a vibrant personality. Show me a kid who says, how are you? You know, rambunctious, somebody who's playful, precocious. They don't exist anymore. You get these flat affect, mumbling, no right. handshake, no eye contact.
No eye contact.
Find a precocious kid today. Find anybody. You know, if you have a job and they come in, people come in, they're going to be low affect. Forget low T, low affect, flat, mumbling, not nice, not funny, not anything. No, there's the days of Shirley Temple or that was before my time. But look at, and also media is a celebration of weird and vile and profane and filthy. And all kids have to do is see this compounded. Now, if there was something in addition to that to counterbalance it, like friends doing stuff that we did as kids that was kind of interesting, we would run around a little bit more. We kind of get tired. Kids are tired and exhausted, not from physical activity, but from the drugs wearing off or their whatever.
Online, now, online scrolling,
Those kids are going to have kids. Imagine this 2 or 3 generations ahead of time. Let me give you a story very quickly. 15 years ago, I don't know, a friend of mine who was who worked HR happened to be at an HR convention of HR people, you know, that's human resources. It used to be called personnel, but then they changed that. And these are the most inhumane people ever. So anyway, he was told, he had a seminar on how to deal with parents of job applicants. I said, wait, what? He says, yes, people will come in their 20s after graduation, looking for jobs, corporate, and they bring their parents. And mommy and daddy will say, when does little Tiffany get time off for Pilates? What about vacation? And now it's so bad that you've got the leading investment banking, Goldman Sachs, Jamie Dimon, begging people, would you please come to work today? Everything is upside down. So when you ask the question, why is suicide rate up? Because everything's up. Schizophrenia is up. Involuntary commitment. Forget suicide. How about people who are just messed up? Crazy. Not getting arrested, not walking into traffic, but really seriously, emotionally, and psychiatrically screwed up. There's another word that you know what I'm going to say, but I'm not going to say because this
can't
is the family.
You can't say it. But you know, Lionel, I want to point out something with the suicide. First of all, I want to remind everybody, we do have this 3-digit code 988. And if you just want to get some free information, you want to be directed to local resources across the country, it is there for you to use. You do not have to be in an immediate crisis situation yourself or within your family or your child, but utilize these free resources. Find out, because many parents will say to me, is it just the teenager? I didn't really know the indicators. But there's a common myth associated with suicide, and that is, and many parents say this to me, family members, if I talk about it and discuss it, I'm too afraid that will cause them to, investigate it more or perhaps think of it. And I want everybody to know that is a myth. We have to talk about it. We have to be there, learn. We have to listen. We have to check in with that child or that family member. And then we have to, after all of that, keep checking up on them, because we are hearing and witnessing too many stories of not only adults, but children now as young as five. And I ask that question again, Lionel. I do not know how a child of five is able to commit suicide. It means there's no adult around. I don't know where they're learning this, except I do know on all of these big tech platforms. We're going to get into that. We need to take a station headline in a couple of seconds. But I want to get into this big tech, Lionel, because every platform from all of the work we do, our work here in New York State, our work on the federal level in DC, we know they are showing these videos step by step how to harm one's self, okay? Not only suicide, eating disorders. So I want to know why. Why can't we hold them in some fashion responsible for all of this? And I also want to know from you, Lionel, put your legal hat on as well. I want you to share with us, when you were working the Suicide Lifeline Prevention hotline, what were some of the things people were sharing with you? Because most people just want to talk. They really want attention. Appropriately, they're lonely. We know a lot of lonely people right now. Coming out of COVID, people are lonely. So, the best medicine, and I want to get into that. We have to talk about empowering the kids, also empowering individuals, adults, and also it's so easy to just get out. We have to start getting outside or get in the sunlight or running around. So let's take the station headline. And when we come back, we're going to be discussing all of that. This is today's News Talk, TNT Radio.
Give me a minute with TNT Radio's Steve Malzberg.
You want to hear insanity? Last month, the mayor of Chicago filed a lawsuit against Kia and Hyundai, claiming that the automakers didn't include industry standard engine immobilizers in various car models, which he claims is responsible for a steep rise in crime. I kid you not, he's blaming the cars for being stolen, not the criminals who stole them. And I guess he blames the gas pumps for the fact that gas stations all over the city are closing early because of the increase in crime. What about food? Walmart has closed 4 stores and 6 grocery stores have closed on the south side of the city. Must be the broccoli's fault. But Mayor Johnson is planning on doing something about it. A municipally owned grocery. You heard me, a government-owned grocery, the first of its kind in the country. ChicagoDefender.com says the mayor claims 19% of residents in the city are food insecure. And he says food access and security are directly linked to environmental and racial justice. Hey, maybe the government could go into the car alarm and gas station business next. Thanks for giving me a minute. I'm Steve Malzberg for TNT Radio.
Children in poverty, each one unique, each one full of dreams. They're our hope, our future. They're the reason Children International exists. When the whole world changed, we developed new ways to reach children and families in poverty during these vulnerable times.
I'm learning every day.
I'm healthy and strong.
To learn more, go to children.org/help today.
There is a war on for your children. Children are under attack at every level and on every front, from the government, big tech, education, medical, Hollywood, and society. This is Lynn's Warriors with Lynn Shaw on today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
We're talking with legal and media analyst Lionel. LionelMedia.com is the website. Now, Lionel, I really want to go over a couple of these common myths and then get your take on your work with the hotline. A person must have a mental illness to commit suicide. Not true.
No.
Only trained professionals can help individuals experiencing suicidal thoughts. Not true. Talking about suicide increases the chances that a person may act on it. Not true. People who talk about suicide, this is a very common one, are just seeking attention. Not true. Suicide occurs without warning. Not true. People who take their own lives are selfish. Not true. And suicide can't be prevented. A big, big not true.
Oh,
now,
and
what
also
you say
people,
to, yeah, talk about some of those facts.
Let me tell you a couple of things. Interesting thing. I'll never forget this one. When I first, I was a very young, like 19, I was at this suicide thing. And we very rarely got a suicide call. A lot of them were distressed or whatever. And this fellow says, well, I'm going to kill myself. I said, how? He said, what? I said, how? Now, I don't know if you're supposed to do this. Nobody really. We had some minimal training. I said, well, how are you going to do
minimal training?
Yeah, well, there's really no training. What are you going to do? Because a lot of times what people would do is they would say, there would be this thing called Rogerian active listening, Carl Rogers. And he would say things like, sounds like you're upset. The guy just said he wants to kill himself. Yeah. So I asked his fellow, how are you going to do that? And he said, you know, I didn't think about it. I said, well, I can't tell you what to do, but I mean, you know, and he never thought about it. I said, let me ask you something. I said, this may be really crazy. I said, but are you really out of your, does this solve everything or just end it? And he said, you know, I never thought about that. I said, because you can end it, but it doesn't solve anything. Make a long story short, it was one of the most wonderful nights just talking about the philosophy of problem in life. And he didn't do it. He wanted, that was his reaction to feeling as though he could not get out of this problem. That's what he called it. That's number one. He didn't know what to, he didn't really want to kill himself. He just, he wanted it to end. He didn't want to end. Now, some people do. Some people have. And the thing is that yet there's a resilience. For example, people with terminal illness don't commit suicide. People they found out in concentration camps, people on death row. The resilience of the life force is incredible. If ever anybody you would think would have a reason to, we don't know why people do it. Invariably, what people are saying is, I don't want to kill myself. I want this to end. There's a degree, not always, some people do, but especially when you're 17 years old, you are right. Feeling so and so and so alone. You want to just keep with, you want to keep withdrawing and you want to do the ultimate withdrawal. I don't think people really understand how this thing works. And I'm not, it's a very, very over the, very blanketed statement, but what happens also, you got to think about, will you, what happens later on if, and I know but nobody cares about this, try getting life insurance. Try getting a job. Is this on your record? Now, I know nobody's even thinking about this, but I would, because it doesn't matter, because if you commit suicide, this is all moot. But some people in the bottom of their mind, back of their mind, they say, I know I'm not going to do this. It's not a call for help, but I don't think they've even thought about that. Do you know?
But what about children? Oh. Let's talk about teens, because I think they're so beyond, you know, whether they have this cyberbullying. Remember, when we went home after school, any bullying ended. It goes on 24 hours a day now,
right?
Because of the internet. So let's talk a little bit about teenagers. I think, see, this is where I'm having a difficult time. You know, they want this to end, and they're willing to kill themselves
as opposed to how.
Well, they're taking a handful of pills, or they're putting a rope around their neck, or they're doing something. So I can't tell you how many times a parent has said, we had family dinner, it was a regular school day, everything seemed fine, and they find the child dead the next day. Now, with that being said, how are we going to empower? Like, what are your suggestions to empower our children? They have to come to the parents or the caregiver or work. Whatever the family unit is that they're living in, to the predators cannot win, or the cyber bullies cannot right. win. And this is an American crisis. Everybody has to understand with this child suicide. And I want to remind everybody, a fact I put out every single week, that 40% of those showing up, children in the emergency rooms, are 11 and under who have tried to commit suicide. It is a shocking statistic. So Lionel, let's have a masterclass. How are we going to explain this to the parents?
First and foremost, you know, a lot of these adults say these stupid things like, you know, I don't know why everybody's got to get a trophy. That drives me. Give them a trophy. Make a kid feel good. I don't care what it is. Have you heard people say this? They have this thing about, don't give a kid a trophy. Give them a trophy. Make them feel good. Celebrate something. Way to go. Good for you. See, that's what success feels like. Go do it. Oh, I like this. I want to do it again. Oh, not with today's adults. Oh, no, they're on Fox News and they're afraid of giving Johnny a trophy. The next thing is when you're able to have something, and this is very difficult, and no matter how great a parent may be, a kid has to be able to talk about things. The next point.
Yes.
I used to always, you hear, especially men today, you know, where they're low T, the Fred Ziffels out there, they go, let me tell you something. When we were a kid, if you had a bully, you'd go and you'd take care of it. We know some kids don't do that. And some, you want people, what, to go fight? Well, that's what we did. Stop it. Do you know that my concern would be if somebody said, your son or daughter is bullying, I would be more freaked out. I have a psychopath. I'm raising a sadist. I'm raising somebody who's getting a kick out of hurting somebody and watching them be upset. That is the part of the equation that's missed. Yes, we always talk about the victim of the bully, but if you are bullying, but if you have a child who is a sadistic, sick, ruthless person who gets some kind of weird psychosexual freak show, you know, pinges of excitement over making somebody cry, you got a fellow Ted Bundy right there. You know, we've always talked about this notion of what is a serial killer. We always talk about the big three: arson, teasing animals, and enuresis or bedwetting. But there's something also which is important, and we're adding on to it, is getting a kick out of pushing someone. And there's also something called the scrum. And the scrum, if you go back to Gustave Le Bon and the whole notion of ochlocracies and mob behavior, we had a kid remember this kid's name was Clemente or something at Rutgers. Yeah. There was a story of a young guy in college who was gay, secretly gay, closeted, who was going to have his first gay rendezvous, his first sexual encounter. And this sadistic roommate or somebody found out and they put a camera. Remember that? And this kid jumped off the George Washington Bridge. He was so
desperate.
Now,
that's what I'm talking about, Lionel. Why jumping off of the George Washington Bridge? I don't understand why they can't go to somebody.
Remember also, the form of the suicide is indicative of how desperate and the statement you want to make. In the old days, they used to say that women were into pills. Men would shoot, would do headshots. Women would never do a headshot. They would always point to the heart so that their face would. I know this is brutal, but people really looked at it. People who jump out of windows, jump off of bridges. Think about this. You want to make a statement. You want the world to feel, to understand how serious you were. But the person who was the sickest was somebody who went through all that work to humiliate somebody. Now,
yes.
Look at what happens with, just go to pick any media site you want, Russell Brand, anybody, whether you like him or not. Once the trolling starts and the crowd starts to circle, they get vicious and everybody moves.
Okay, well, that brings me, listen, Lionel, that brings me to my next question. These big tech platforms,
okay,
what do you say about them allowing this, especially when it comes to children, this onslaught of the bullying, the onslaught of the videos, you know, how to kill yourself? Those videos do appear.
Right. It's a very simple thing. If you had, remember these mothers would have pictures of their sons and daughters who just were disappeared. They never gone. If you had pictures, mothers standing in front of the Google headquarters or the TikTok headquarters, wherever that is, Twitter or whatever, with pictures over, like the Chinese do, how they always protest here on 42nd Street here in New York in front of the Chinese consulate. They're there all the time. They never give up. If all of a sudden you said, this is my son, TikTok killed my son, or whatever the phrase, that's a bit exaggerated, but
I have to interrupt for a second, Lionel. I want to just point out in Washington, D.C., as we speak, they are doing that today. It's called Lost Voices to Fentanyl. It is mothers, fathers, family members holding up pictures, marching to the White House. They have lost their children to fentanyl. So there is a big march. nobody seems to know about. You know why? Because the media is not covering it. Anyway, please continue.
Because nobody will talk about it, because fentanyl is getting into this country by virtue of the Biden administration looking the other way. Look at that poor little boy, that beautiful little boy that and that with the Bronx at this daycare. Little baby boy is so cute. The picture with his little white crisp shirt and his bow tie. And he came into contact with fentanyl, maybe a little microscopic fleck of this, and died while some of the workers were running drugs and fentanyl out of this. Anyway, once you connect the two, somebody has to tell the public this seemingly, I've got a phone, you've got a phone. It's not the phone. It's what's on it. We know how when the senator, I don't know if you heard, Senator John Kennedy was reading from these pornographic, let me read this child. And when people heard what kids were reading about all kinds of sexual Congress, my God, it hit home. Once the public knows what's happening, because they don't really understand TikTok, they've never seen it, or they look at it and they're saying, I don't see it. Go here. Let me show people the dark side. And show people the last thing that was. Let me just have somebody, for example, do a demonstration.
But why? Listen, I fight this all the time. Why do, and certainly the parents have to be aware, safety features and filters, talk to your kids. Why do the overwhelmed parents have to be the ones that have to bear the responsibility from these zillion-dollar big tech platforms loading our kids up with all of this junk? Why?
Because zillion-dollar platforms. The zillion-dollar platforms have never cared about us or our kids, whether it's from the sugar they drink to the stuff that they eat to the medications to.
So they whatever. Have no legal responsibility. No legal responsibility in.
I would venture to say I would have an easier time defending their right to have the First Amendment than trying to explain why a parent wants the government to act in loco parentis or to say, I want you to clean this thing up. Look, I know this sounds crazy. You're the parent. Don't tell me you can't take a phone away. Don't tell me you can't take a gun away. You can't take drugs away, alcohol away? You can't, you have no control. You shouldn't be a parent. Because if I were TikTok, I would say, don't look at me. There are people who look at this constantly. They don't kill themselves. There are people who look at violent videos. They don't hurt anybody. In our generation, they always try to tell us that if you play the song backwards, it says, Paul is dead, source of the devil. Ozzy Osbourne was inspiring people to kill. We've heard this the whole. This is a more serious iteration, but the
this
latest
is more
one,
serious.
No, I'm sorry. Listen, when you have that kid, you better make sure you know what you're doing. This is a sewer you're living in, and for you to get that phone, don't tell me you didn't know about this. Don't tell me, because there's ignorance is no defense. I'm sorry. The onus is on you. Not TikTok. If you think they're going to take this down or what, and not only that, remember this, and I'll leave you with this. The most dangerous person in your child's life is her friends, not TikTok. The people your son or daughter hangs around with, the people that are the leaders of the group, the alpha male or females, those are the people that you better keep an eye on. And what do you do about that? Don't have friends? Look, this is a mind. Well, this is not insurmountable.
I still think, I know, yes, we have to keep an eye on the friends, but I still think big tech, a lot has changed since 1996, basically the birth of the internet. They do bear some sort of responsibility. Now, again, we know it's a slippery slope because you don't want to shut down people's freedoms and all of that. But when we have children killing themselves or dangerous TikTok challenges, I don't know. Something has to be worked out, but right now it
is going. They're going to put a warning. Look, they're going to put a warning. They're going to do, something. They're going to do everything in their power to at least pretend that they're whatever they're trying to do. Look, it's a very complicated issue. I realize that. I'm not trying to make light of it. But what I hope people do is, I hope people listening, parents are armed. And they first thing they would say, show me your phone, look at it, look at all of their, look for TikTok. This is your phone, you're paying for it. And don't give me that business about, well, I don't want to go through my kid's diary. This isn't her diary or his diary. This is their phone. Own this. We're warning you, we're telling you. And by the way, anything that you think is problematic, I want you to imagine when you have to go and identify your kid, you don't want to see that in the pink room, where this room where they have the artificial pink light. If your child happens to be blanched because you didn't get to him right away, and you've got to sit there, and that's your baby, and you've got to sit there and say, that's mine. Then you'll say to yourself, you know, I should have been a little bit more upfront about this. I should have maybe
The listener with that, Lionel. Great final words to be aware, parent up. Thank you, Lionel, for joining us today on Lynn's Warriors, LionelMedia.com. Remember, it's up to each and every one of us. So thank you for listening. Write to us, TNTRadio.live. Thank you always to Alex on the board for keeping all running smoothly. Ruckus, our engineer, our entire TNT family. Until we meet again, this is Lynn's Warriors on TNT Radio, today's news talk. It's 2023. Community creates change. Now go out and be a warrior.